Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. My guest for this morning is the Juice Lady, Cherry Carbone. She is the author of 27 books, including several bestsellers with over 2 million books sold in the United States and published around the world in 23 countries. Cherry and I will be discussing her latest book, The Juice Lady's Anti-Inflammation Diet, 28 Days to Restore Your Body and Feel Great. Good morning, Cherry. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, good morning. I'm doing wonderful, and thank you so much for inviting me on your show.
Great. It is a pleasure to have you on the air. I have to tell you that the Anti-Inflammation Diet book is a terrific read. There are tons of recipes. The instructions for them are very easy to follow, and the book should be included in every kitchen. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, everybody needs to get a copy for health's sake.
That's right. Let us start by getting to know you a little better. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
Well, the reason I got started as a nutritionist, why I went back to school to get my master's degree in whole foods nutrition, I was not well as a child, and by the time I reached my late 20s, I was very sick with chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. And no doctor could really help me. They still don't know what to do about those conditions. They just give people drugs. And I was so tired. I could not work. I had to move back home, and I would sleep about 12 hours a day, wake up tired, want to go back to bed. I thought, this is no way of living. I felt like I had the flu all the time, swollen glands and kind of feverish. It was just a horrible, miserable existence. And I thought, I'm going to have to do something for myself because nobody knows how to help me. So I started going to health food stores and talking with people and realized that my diet was all wrong. I liked junk food, or fast food, I should say, and I didn't like vegetables. And so I changed everything. I bought my first juicer. I went on a five-day vegetable juice fast. And then I continued drinking juices and eating a clean whole foods diet that was vegan for that 3 months of summer. One day at the end of that 3 months, I woke up and thought, wow, somebody gave me a new body in the middle of the night. I felt like jogging, so I did. And prior to that, I hadn't even been able to walk around the block because I just did not have the energy. I thought, wow, that was a great cure. I called it a cure. I started pulling back into my diet some of my old ways, and some of my symptoms started coming back, and that scared me. When you taste vibrant health like you haven't had before, it is like the most precious gift you could ever have, and you never want to lose it. And so that's when I realized this has got to be a way of life, not just considered a cure. And I changed everything, and I was just so committed that I went back to school a couple of years later and got my master's degree in whole foods nutrition.
That's a fascinating story. Were people in your family, immediate family that is, were they into health as well as you were?
Oh, they weren't. In fact, my mother died of cancer when I was 6 years old, and doctors had told me that I would probably get cancer early in my life. And I kept saying, no, not me. But I was heading in that direction. I was eating a cancer-causing diet, for sure. My father, no, he was not into health either. He just ate a regular standard diet. I did have one aunt that was really health-oriented, health-minded. That was it. Nobody else. So I had to forge my own trail, and that is why I've written so many books. I really wanted to help other people find their way, find recipes that tasted good. I had a lot of trial and error and things that didn't taste good. And I wanted to help other people find their way and get good recipes and good instruction on how they can change their diet, change their life, change their health.
You went through a major transformation from inside out. We're not talking just about, I guess, in a way, spiritual revelation here in terms of thinking about your body as a temple and going through in the sense of taking care of it. You change your entire diet. How does that affect you in terms of the period of time that you were going through this transition process?
It affected me in every way. And it's interesting what I'm about to say. Thousands of other people have told me as well that have gotten on my program and gone through the diet changes. I not only had more energy, got rid of all of the nasty symptoms, I could think more clearly. I'd been kind of foggy-brained and couldn't think very well, and at a young age was forgetting things. It was almost like getting dementia early in life. It was horrible, you know. So my brain cleared. I could think clearly. I remember back in school when, I'll never forget, one teacher called me his favorite roller coaster student. I was up. I had days where I was really good. I did well. Other days where I could not think clearly, and I did not do well in school. And so everything cleared, and my brain was working, and that was wonderful. And the energy, but spiritually things changed. Because when you do not feel well, it's very difficult to make inroads spiritually, to connect with God, to be able to think or read or pray or do anything, you know, along a spiritual journey. And so when my body healed, that became clear, and the connection with God became much stronger because I could spend time reading and praying and thinking, and emotionally things cleared. And in fact, we've seen this for other people many times at our juice and raw foods health and wellness retreats. In 4 or 5 days, when people are on the raw foods and juicing, they're able to let go of emotions that they've held for years, things that have disturbed their lives, maybe ruined their lives. They've let go. They've been able to forgive, to let go of emotions that they'd held on to. And I was able to begin that journey. I didn't complete it in 3 months by any means. It took me years. But I began that journey and continued on that journey until one day, as I write in my book, I really felt what the word wholeness means. Complete, entire, not wanting anything, not disturbed by things, balanced in my life. And I have continued to feel that way to this day. Not that every moment is that way. We all have stressful moments. We all have moments when we're anxious or fearful or whatever. But the majority of my life feels calm and balanced and centered. And I know in huge part it was because I changed my diet and got on clean, whole foods and life-giving foods, especially the vegetable juices.
Interesting. Basically, it's just not about nutrition in itself, because once you take care of the core of your existence, everything else around it revolves beautifully.
Oh, it is so true. If you take care of right down to your cellular level, which is where things are going to go no matter what you do, and you are moving in the right direction, your body heals and restores on every single level. It's amazing. You may need to do some work. Most people do emotional work, mental release of toxic thoughts, emotional release of toxic emotions. But you have a greater, much greater opportunity of achieving your goals.
Fantastic. How did you end up being known as the Juice Lady?
When I was in school, at Ambassador University, the Juice Man Company came to our school, and they were looking for two master's level students to write a little book to go booklet of recipes and health tips to go in the Juice Man juicer. And I was one that the head of the department asked if I would be interested in this project. And when I got to know the people at the company and saw what they were doing, not only did I write the little booklet with another one of the students, I saw that they were doing Juice Man seminars on weekends around the country, the free seminars on juicing and health, and they would advertise them via the infomercial. It was really a clever idea. And so in the particular cities where that infomercial would run, they would say free seminar, and it would be at different hotels. And I started doing that, those on the weekends, because I had a story to tell of how my life had changed. So they hired me, gave me a chance, and I took off with being successful in selling juicers and reaching my audiences. So every weekend I would fly out and speak to an audience of about 1,000 people per audience, and then go home on Sunday night and back to school during the week. And early on, they made me their juice lady, and the name stuck. And ever since, I've been known as that. And all of my books for, I would say, maybe the last 10 years have been prefaced with the Juice Lady's whatever, remedies, the Juice Lady's anti-inflammation diet, and so forth. And my big book of juices and greens, smoothies, has been really popular, too.
Fantastic. That sounds terrific. Why did you write the anti-inflammation diet book? This is your 27th book. I mean, so you have accomplished so much, and yet there's still more new information that you're putting out there.
There's always more to do, I believe, because people, they're not getting it. I think that a lot of people know the way, know that they're doing things that they shouldn't do, but for some reason, they think it's not going to catch up with them. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, but not them. They're not going to get heart disease, cancer, diabetes, or some other different disease like lupus or scleroderma or some other very strange thing. No, it's not going to happen to them. They won't get Alzheimer's when they're a few years down the road, won't get dementia. So I keep doing these books as wake-up calls, for one. But secondly, so many people have asked me, what do I eat? In addition to the juices and the smoothies, people have asked me personally, do I just drink juice? And absolutely not. I'd be skinny as a bone if I just drank juice. I eat food, too. And what do they eat? And then also, so many people that I've counseled with nutritional counseling have asked me about the diet. And I was going through a laborious teaching and trying to give them recipes, and I thought, the time has come. For all these reasons, I must write the anti-inflammation diet, because that's what I was telling everybody. If you've got anything going wrong with you, any disease process at all, you need to be on an anti-inflammation diet. And people always say, what's that? And how do I do that? And, you know, what recipes? And so here's the book, and now I can just easily refer people to the book, and it's all done for them. And anybody with any disease process needs to be on this program to begin to bring healing right down to core level.
Wonderful. How is your book different than others as compared to so many information books out there in the market right now?
Yes, and it is a very hot topic. Mine has juice recipes and smoothie recipes. For every day of the 28 days, and I'm not familiar with another one. There may be one that has a 28-day program to follow with all the wonderful recipes, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and all of the research I've done. It's a little bit different. There's a lot of books with research and information and guidelines, but not quite how I've laid it out. I'm very whole foods oriented and clean foods, and I give people a lot of guidelines. Even if they don't want to juice, I give them tons of guidelines as to how to make this program work on a daily basis, along with shopping lists and tips in the kitchen for how to make it easy, how to plan ahead, and so forth.
That's true. The core of your book is the 28-day plan to restore our body and feel great. Please share with us your collaboration with Chef Abby Farmatino.
Yes, I've known Chef Abby for a lot of years. She came to one of my raw foods parties. I used to have them once a month when I lived in Edmonds, Washington. She drove up from Portland. She wanted to do a presentation. Mm-hmm. And I got on her mailing list and through the years watched wonderful recipes that she developed, and always with a little flair and fun things. And when I thought about doing this book, I thought maybe she would like to collaborate with me, because I knew that she did recipes that were anti-inflammation oriented and that she really got it, and she avoided the foods that cause inflammation. Mm-hmm. And so it was a great collaboration. She does very interesting recipes, fun things, and really gives people a lot of great instruction as to how to shop and prepare the foods. And so it's been a good joint effort for this book.
In reading your book, I find that it offers a tremendous amount of selection of recipes, which basically covers just about everybody out there. I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of taste buds you have, because if you like seafood, you got seafood. You like meat, you like vegetables only. And of course, people like me that don't eat vegetables, there's tons of smoothie combinations that you can do. So it's really fantastic from that point of view. And of course, not to mention the colors. And again, the recipes are very easy to follow and execute. Who would benefit most from this book?
Every adult in the United States. Because if you have an illness, a disease, anything going on in your body, you absolutely need this. If you don't have anything going on right now, which is rather unusual, most people, even younger people, have something going on. But if you don't have anything going on, this is a way to prevent getting something down the road. And so everybody, every adult could benefit from this book and the really fun, delicious recipes in there.
Basically, be proactive, because I agree with what you're saying. Sometimes we don't really understand, do we really to be extremely sick before we see the doctor, or do we start feeling the symptoms of sickness and then we act on it before it gets to that boiling point? Which brings me to the next question for you. You had a wonderful presentation with regards to what you call slow simmering inflammation symptoms that we all sometimes overlook. So tell us about that.
Yes. They call chronic inflammation a silent killer, because you don't really know what's happening at your cellular level. However, you can have some pesky things going on that may be signaling there's something not right. If your cholesterol is going up, especially your LDL cholesterol, maybe headaches, not sleeping well, getting more colds and flus, allergies can be a sign that there's inflammation going on. There's also tests that you can do. They are markers of inflammation. C-reactive protein, if that's elevated, interleukin-6, higher homocysteine levels, and higher LDL. Those are indicators that there is chronic inflammation. And so you can get some tests done. But I would say, you know, I may not have nailed your particular subtle symptom, but if you have anything going on in your body, there is a sign that you need to start doing something different, because it's not normal. PMS symptoms for women is not normal, but everybody laughs and jokes about it as though it is. And so we need to wake up and take assessment of the fact that something's going on in our bodies, if there's anything at all popping up to say there's some dis-ease in our body somewhere.
Yeah. We have to pay attention to our body because it is a closed system. You cannot create order somewhere without creating disorder somewhere else. And so if you slowly but surely feeling this fatigue sitting in, maybe it is the lack of sleep, then maybe if you do have your normal hours of sleep, then there's something else that might be causing it. The subtlety of these symptoms that sometimes we just forego and say, oh, well, it's no big deal. I think that's the wrong approach.
It absolutely is, and you were so right, because probably the first thing that a lot of people do experience is that they're more tired, and it's a tiredness mm-hmm. that doesn't go away with extra
right.
sleep on the weekend or vacation, you know. And
right.
so that is a signal. And that may be the number one, along with I hear a lot of people talk about a foggy brain, and that may be right up there too. They're just not thinking quite as clearly as they used to.
Even taking vitamin supplements don't help it.
Yes, right. Taking all popping all those pills. We're a pill-popping nation, and
mm-hmm.
we pop a lot of vitamin pills too, and they may not be helping us. So,
right.
Yes, it's diet we need to look at. And I often think about the farmers of years past.
Yeah.
We had some farming families in our extended family. So I do know that when animals got sick on their farm, the first thing they looked at was what were they eating? Did
mm-hmm.
they eat something that contributed to this problem?
Mm-hmm.
Today, you go to the doctor and almost nobody is asked, what are they eating that
right.
could be contributing to this? In fact, so many doctors will tell them, oh, no, it's nothing in your lifestyle that contributed to your diabetes or your cancer
mm-hmm.
or mm-hmm. whatever, or your heart disease. It wasn't your diet or lifestyle. And that is so wrong. It is all about your lifestyle of
mm-hmm.
diet and stress and so forth.
You talk about a lot of those factors that contribute to chronic inflammation, stress. You talk about change in environment. And in this case, food is the main culprit in terms of contributing to inflammation. So what kind of foods we need to be concerned about?
Yes, there's the top, I've moved it to six. I was calling it the
mm-hmm.
top five. Sugar is right up there at the top, and it's in everything. It is dumped in anything almost that's in a package today.
Mm-hmm.
I bought some organic turkey the other day and got it home, looked at the label, there was sugar in there. I had to take it back. I do not do well with any sugar
mm-hmm.
at all. But you can pretty much figure if it's in a package today, it's going to have sugar. And now the manufacturers are tricking us because they know that people look for the top sugar or the top ingredients for what's going to give the most sugar and so forth. So they're breaking it up into different names so they can put it all down at the bottom of the label. And so you may see corn syrup solids, maltodextrin, dextrin,
mm-hmm.
Cane sugar, sucrose, on and on it
yeah.
goes. It's all sugar. And they're trying to trick us to think there isn't very much sugar in there and we can go ahead and have it. But they've broken it down into so many grams of maltodextrin, so many grams of corn syrup solids and things like that. And it's all in there. Don't buy any package that has any kind of sugar in it. It's really bad. And so all of this box stuff, package stuff, sugar, sugar, sugar everywhere. When we got onto the craze of low-fat or no-fat diet, they had to do something for flavor, and so they started putting in sugar into everything. And fruit juice concentrates. That's sugar. Agave,
mm-hmm.
that's worse than regular sugar. It's so high in fructose. Fructose, I'll put in there, labeled fructose. It's all sugar refined in some way, and so we've got to get that out of our diet. And I talk about healthy sweeteners in my book and give people options like stevia is an herb and it tastes great. And so you can use stevia. Coconut sugar is another good one. Coconut nectar is great. Only one kind of xylitol if it's from organic birch bark, and you don't see that very much. So the xylitol mostly is from the wood pulp industry byproduct, and that's not good. So I talk about also artificial sweeteners and how they're not good for you. They're even worse than the other sweeteners. And then number two, junk food. Number two and number one vie for the top. There have been studies showing, proving that junk food with all of its preservatives and artificial flavors and fillers and dyes right up there at the top of contributing to inflammation. So much junk food in our diet, so many packaged foods that people just sit and almost mindlessly munch on, whether they're watching TV or they're rather bored at work and munching on some sort of chip or worse, some strange manufactured something that looks like styrofoam and has the texture of it. And on it goes. But we've got to get the junk food out of our diet. Number three would be oils, bad, adulterated, damaged oils. And not only trans fats and hydrogenated and partially hydrogenated oils. We know about those now. Pretty much our society has gotten that message. But we have not gotten the message about the polyunsaturated vegetable oils. Corn, soy, safflower, and sunflower oil are still in so many things, including what's called healthy salad dressings with names and labels that people use and trust. But you look at the label, and in there are these oils. These oils damage very easily. Light and oxygen and heat damage them. And they get damaged because they have double bonds. And now we're going to chemistry. And these double bonds in polyunsaturates break easily. And that creates free radicals. Free radicals damage our cells. And so even just heating lightly can cause that, but the manufacturing process can cause it. Even before it gets into a jar or a bottle, a plastic bottle, it's damaged many, many times because of the processing that it goes through, because those are fragile oils and they do not hold up. They're not very durable. So what do you do instead? Get durable oils. And we have been told the complete opposite of what is true. We've been told that saturated oils like coconut oil are very bad for us, and it's totally the opposite. Because coconut oil is a saturated fat, it means it does not have the double bonds that can break easily. It means that it is a very durable oil, and it is not going to oxidize easily and create free radicals, create inflammation, causing byproduct and damage our arteries. It's damaged arteries that cause the problems in our bodies. So we need to get rid of all those oils and use just virgin olive oil, coconut oil, palm oil also is good. And we have been told that those oils were very bad for us. And then moving on our list, coffee in excess and anything more than one cup. And it's not a big, giant mug. It's a small kind of teacup size, like the old China cups that people used to use. Anything more than that is really not good. There, I refer to a study where they looked at people that drank moderate to excessive amounts of coffee and found that their inflammation markers were up. The C-reactive protein and interleukin-6 was what they tested. And so they compared that to the non-coffee drinkers and found that it was much higher, their inflammation markers much higher in the caffeine drinkers. And so I recommend not coffee but green tea, because green tea is really good for us. It's rich in antioxidants, very good for our body. And we do get a little bit of caffeine, but not a lot. So moving on then, gluten is on that list. And the reason being, we've got too much gluten in our wheat today. It's been hybridized over and over again to get strains of wheat, new and newer strains all the time that have more gluten, because people want fluffier and fluffier bread and flour products. They want them light and very, very fluffy. And that is against how wheat and other grains with gluten were in ancient days. They were fiber, high fiber, chewy. If you read old manuscripts or biblical accounts of bread, when people ate bread, it was hard, and they had to dip it in something. You know, they were dipping it in olive oil or wine to soften it up. So we need to move away and go to gluten free. And there's a lot of choices right now for gluten free. A lot of different flour, like almond flour, coconut flour. I like garbanzo bean flour. Just you can get all-purpose gluten-free flour. You can get gluten-free breads, and even some restaurants now are starting to serve gluten-free products. So that, along with dairy, a little bit of cheese, yes, okay, on your favorite dish. But people do an awful lot of dairy, a lot of cheese, and milk, or yogurt, or ice cream. So it's time to move away from all of that dairy. Dairy is very mucus-forming. Mucus contributes to inflammation. So there's a lot of options. You can go almond milk, hemp milk, coconut milk are great, great, great alternatives. Almond cheese. It melts like regular cheese, and that's what I use. Almond ice cream or coconut ice cream, delicious. And even coconut yogurt is out there, really delicious. So, and with probiotics. So I think we have many, many choices tonight. Today we're very fortunate, and we don't have to have all of these highly known inflammation-causing foods.
Very interesting. Your book also mentioned the unlikely culprit that contributes to inflammation. What are they? And when I read it, I thought it was interesting because it contains vegetables.
And it's not for everybody. The list I'm giving now is just for a segment of the population. It's estimated about 30% are allergic to the nightshade family. And that's potatoes, tomatoes, bell peppers, and hot peppers, and eggplant. So not all people are allergic, and so not everyone has to avoid this group of vegetables. Tobacco's in there, too. So if you have joint pain, you might want, and you smoke, you need to stop.
Yeah.
Not even if you don't have joint pain, no matter what, you need to stop it. But this group... sometimes it's hard for people to recognize, am I really allergic or sensitive to the solanines in nightshade family? So what you do is an elimination diet. You avoid all of those nightshades for 30 days, and then you can introduce one at a time. If some of your joint pain comes back, then you know that you can't eat those. Citrus is even a smaller category. But some people are sensitive to citrus and need to avoid that too. And then food allergies and or sensitivities. And many people don't know about those. They don't know they are sensitive to something, but it's often something you love and you eat all the time, and it's causing problems in your body.
Interesting. You talk about changing one's diet changes one's life. That's no doubt is true. How does one do that?
I always tell people in my groups, and I run groups around the year, eight-week courses, make them slow, steady changes. Pick one thing that you can start with, make that part of your life, then go on to the next thing. And consider this not a white knuckle it, I've got to lose weight, or I've got to do this for a short time, and I've got to just overwhelm myself and change every single thing at once kind of thing, and then go for it for a short time and then forget it all. Because you haven't incorporated it step by step into your lifestyle. So I always start with drinking more water, and then I go on to getting rid of the junk out of your pantry, doing a pantry clean out, where you just throw out all the junk food and snack foods and do some detective work, and then learn how to eat. I go through a menu plan, and now you've got it with a 28-day menu plan and shopping list throughout the anti-inflammation diet. And so begin to plan your menus and plan ahead. And that is how it becomes part of your life. And if you kind of fall off the program for a day or two, a party or two, a vacation, whatever, don't just bag the whole thing. And that's what so many people have done in the past that I've worked with. Oh, I blew it. I've just messed up. They beat themselves up, and then they just say, forget the whole thing. My program is, no, we're in this for a lifetime. You just get back on track, back onto your good program, and keep going. And I, throughout the 8 weeks, always have words of encouragement midweek of, you know, keep going, don't give up. You know, you can do it, and we all can. But we need to take it at a good pace that'll be ours for the rest of our lives.
Why do people have difficulty in changing themselves?
A lot of attachments to food. They go back, way back into our childhood for most of us. Food around holidays and special occasions and celebrations, and food we ate when we were sad, and food that were given to us when we wanted to be cheered up. Our parents often, you know, rewarded us with something. And so those good memories and sad memories are ingrained in us and attached to food. And so many people have these strong emotional attachments to different foods, and it's hard to give them up. And so I work with people to make exchanges. So you have, you know, your favorite bowl of ice cream when you're depressed or you're stressed out. And so we need to have something as an alternative that we turn to that's a healthier choice. Whatever it is that we're attached to, everybody's got their thing. It might be a bowl of mashed potatoes and butter for some people. It could be bread, hot baked bread. We're all so different, but we all have our things. And it's just learning that we can make exchanges. We can also find other things that aren't even food that we turn to when we're sad, depressed, even when we want to celebrate. What do we choose when we want to go out and celebrate? And I've had to revamp my entire life. What do I choose when I want to go celebrate? And we all have moments when we want to go celebrate. And we can find things on menus at every restaurant. They're still fun. They're still celebration foods, and they're still going to be good for us. Things that we make at home that are for fun and for celebration, we can make choices, and that's what the anti-inflammation diet is, 28 days to learn how to make those new choices in our lives that are fun. We've got all sorts of baked fries that are not white potato and, you know, boiled or away in hot, sizzling, damaged oil. So we've got sweet potato, parsnip, carrot fries in olive oil with sea salt that are really delicious. And so you can have fries, but they're going to be different than what you had before. And many people say, these are more delicious. I don't even want to go back to the old stuff. We have kale chips. So many people are addicted to potato chips. They've told me that. People who come to our raw foods retreats, and every afternoon they get a dehydrated snack, and we serve kale chips on the first day, and people say, wow, these are so good. I don't even need my potato chips anymore. They're marinated in a lemon olive oil marinade, and then put in the dehydrator, and I sprinkle sea salt over the top, dehydrate them for 5 or 6 hours, and they are crispy and as delicious as any potato chip you'd ever want. And throughout the book, we have snacks and meals that are fun and delicious, and you don't have to go to the unhealthy stuff, and you can create new memories, new habits, new food attachments with things that are good for you.
So true. Should we only eat organic foods?
You should eat mostly organic. And I always refer people to EWG, that's the Environmental Working Group.org. They, every year, analyze fruits and vegetables. They have the Dirty Dozen list, and it's about the same things every year that make the top 12, or now I'm calling it the top 15 because I go below the first 12. These are bad, too. And those are the worst sprayed foods there are. Apples, every year, are number one. 40 to 60 different pesticide spray residues found on them. And these are the things that are mostly thin-skinned. Tomatoes, grapes, strawberries, all the berries, spinach, bell peppers, zucchini, cucumbers. They're now spraying the life out of chard and kale, and I don't know why. They're very hardy vegetables, and they don't have to be sprayed half to death, but they're doing it. And carrots are usually lower down, right below the Dirty Dozen, but like 13, 14, or 15 is where they usually come in, so I always say organic carrots. Conversely, down toward the clean 15, either on that list or close to it, are things you don't have to buy organic. They have very little pesticide residue. Things like avocados and onions are always on the clean 15 list. Lemons and limes are usually close to clean 15, and so you don't have to get organic lemons and limes. So take a look at that list, and then you'll know how to shop more wisely. But up at the top, I don't even say stop at 15. I mean, go halfway down the list, for these are the things that are sprayed pretty heavily. Always those should be organic. And then down toward the bottom of the list, those don't have to be organic. And garlic's down there too.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get non-organic, conventional for those, save a few dollars there. But the good thing is so many stores now, like Costco, you know, where you can buy things in large amounts, are carrying organic. I'm so pleased. I was there last week, and organic celery, organic carrots, all the apples were organic. They are getting what people want. And the more people that ask for organic, the more we're going to find it everywhere. And the price is going to go down. I was also pleased to see at Costco the price of organic celery. There was only a dollar difference between that and the conventional. It's like a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. There were three bunches of celery in that package. It was a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer for me almost no matter what it is, because my health is worth more than a few dollars at the checkout counter difference. We can easily shop today, most people, unless they're in a small town that doesn't carry much. We can easily shop for organic produce, and it's not going to break the bank as we check out. But here's another thing that people don't think about when they just think about what is the tab as I'm checking out of the grocery store. What is the back end tab when you're running to the drugstore? Because you have all these problems, you know, that can be corrected through diet.
Right. The interesting part about what you just said also is this, that sometimes we look at things visually, and you're talking about the celery sticks and so forth. Yes, I'm getting more maybe 30% more celery sticks for less the price. But then think about this. How many of those vegetables that were sitting in your refrigerator that you threw away at the end of the week or a couple of weeks because you have too much of them and they just gone bad on you?
Yes.
If you buy a little bit more expensive but less in quantity, you get what you really need. And then the onside of thinking that I'm buying in bulk, I have all the stuff, but yet if you throw about a third of them away, do the math and you'll be surprised. You're actually spending more money on what you perceive as being a bargain.
You bet. And you are so right. And I had not even thought of that before, but almost everybody throws away a bunch of produce, have great intentions, and buy huge amounts
Precisely.
Of it.
Precisely. Right.
And then
right.
Out it goes into the trash.
Right. And so in return, it's more expensive than if you had stuck with the organic one and for the health and everything else that goes with it. How important is prebiotic foods in our diet?
Prebiotics are the precursor to probiotics.
Mm-hmm.
And prebiotics are found on vegetables and fresh fruit, fresh vegetables. And they are extremely important to feed the good bacteria in our gut. It is a healthy, balanced gut. It's not that we're going to get rid of all of the other critters in there, like the yeast, the candidiasis. It's a symbiotic relationship, and they will always be there, but we don't want things out of balance. And so it's very, very important to feed the good bacteria. The probiotics is what they're known as. And we find those on vegetables and fresh fruit, and it's very, very important to eat a lot of those so that we get prebiotics, so that we strengthen our good gut bacteria. There are people who say to me many times, well, I started eating all these vegetables, and now I'm getting gas and bloating. Well, it's because your internal environment of your gut is changing, and you are in a process of getting healthier, but this is a temporary symptom that you're going to have. It won't last forever, and when you replenish the good bacteria, when you build that up, you're going to feel so much better. Your digestion is going to be so much better. Elimination is going to be so much better. And those things are extremely important because our gut is our source of the majority of our immune cells. It's in the gut, and we don't think about that. It's our gut that absorbs the vitamins and minerals in the upper intestinal tract, and it needs to be healthy in order to do that. So a lot of our health depends on our intestinal health. That's where it starts in the naturopathic university that I'm a graduate of. That's what they talk about all the time. It all goes back to the gut.
Right,
your gut's
right.
not healthy, you're not healthy.
There you go. That's true. What is the best way for us to prepare to achieve success in the 28 days plan?
In the anti-inflammation diet, we've got all sorts of tips on how to succeed. A good shopping list, and we've got lists both for the beginning, for the whole week, and we've got the list for each recipe as well, so that you can plan ahead, make copies right out of the book, make a copy, take it with you to the grocery store, and that really helps you in shopping. If you've got it at home, then you don't say, oh, I want to make this recipe, but I'm missing something. You know, it's an, oh, now I've blown it. I can't do that. I just have to go out to the Yellow Arches and get my dinner. And so we want you to plan ahead. Also, quick tip, saving time in the kitchen is really, really important. A lot of people are very busy and say, I don't have a lot of time to spend. So we've got a lot of tips on how to save time. Also, making big batches of food and freezing some. Super way to go. Because how good is that going to be the next day or two, or whenever you're in a real rush? Dinner's done. You just pull it out, thaw it out, you've got dinner or lunch. And so we want to help you make health a habit by learning how to save some time in the kitchen, save some time shopping, and then it makes it a whole lot easier in making this part of your life, this wonderful new anti-inflammation diet.
Very interesting. What is the greatest challenge, if any, in achieving success?
I would say after working with so many people through my 8-week programs, it's emotional attachments to food. Getting hung up with, oh, I was stressed today and I ate something I know I shouldn't, or I was a little down, a little depressed, and I just ran from my favorite cookies or whatever. So it's working on those emotional attachments to foods that are not healthy, foods that are fattening, foods that contribute to inflammation in the diet. So I think that is the biggest hang-up that people have, because everything else I've laid out for you, people have told me it's just so easy to follow and incorporate my program, but then they get hung up on the emotional stuff. So that's what I work on. One of my lessons in my 8-week program is how to overcome emotional attachments and binging and overeating and things like that. And we just work on that systematically week by week to help people overcome those kinds of attachments.
So true. Which is the most important meal of the day? Breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
Well, so many experts say it's breakfast, and because that starts off your day and kind of sets the tone for how your day will be. You could really skip dinner and be okay. And that's the meal that most people rarely skip. But breakfast is one that people often skip. And then by mid-morning or by lunch, they're ravenous at work and grab something really unhealthy. So start off your day with something really nutritious, something very healthful. We have all sorts of recipes in the 28-day program in the anti-inflammation diet. Lots of things to choose from, not just egg dishes, but a pumpkin amaranth porridge, we call it, that's really delicious. Apple cinnamon pancakes made with gluten-free flour for weekends, and frittatas made without eggs, but with, you know, really fun recipes throughout the book for breakfast. And in the mornings on busy days, busy, busy work days, do a smoothie, do a green smoothie or a juice and a green smoothie. I often do both. I do a vegetable juice. I pour some of the juice in my Vitamix, add an avocado, some dark leafy greens, blend all that up. Here you go. This is for you. You don't even know those greens are in there. It's just that it has a green color, but you don't taste it. And get all of that wonderful magnesium from the greens that feed our muscles and help them from feeling sore and fatigued. And it's very sustaining. I put chopped nuts on top of my green smoothie, or raw sunflower seeds or raw pumpkin seeds that add some crunch. And you can make that taste good. You can add some berries. Berries are organic berries, I should say, are wonderful for flavor. And they're also high antioxidant fruit and have been proven to fight inflammation. So you could do a berry green smoothie, I call it, and start off your day really, really healthy. If you don't have time in the morning, make your smoothie the evening before. And then just cover it, put it in the fridge, and you're good to go when you get up in the morning. I do that often when I have an early morning flight.
Mm-hmm.
It's just right there, and you can grab it and go. I know of people who do their juices and smoothies the night before, have them in like glass jars or thermoses, and take them to work because they don't even have time to get it down before they leave the house. But they just take it all to work. Have it there perfect way to go. And freeze juices. Also, you can freeze them in glass jars, pull them out, you know, make big batches on the weekend, pull them out during the week, like the night before or early in the morning. And by the time they've thawed, maybe you have in the morning a little slushy juice, which some people love, a little bit of ice in there, or you pull it out the night before and you're ready to go. This is how you can make it happen, make it practical in your life.
Sounds terrific. It's making me hungry right now.
Good. I'm glad. Hungry for vegetables, right?
I'm not sure about that one. What advice do you have for someone who eats out majority of the time because of work?
There are a lot of people in that category. It is challenging, that's for sure, because it's hard to find restaurants that serve mostly organic foods.
Yeah.
And for a lot of things, you do want organic. But do the best you can. There are more restaurants now that do serve organic. Almost every town has at least one that serves mostly organic. So if you can frequent a place that does, you're one giant step ahead. If you can't find that, just do your best and order foods that are healthful. Main course salads are great choices. Great big salad with something on top like broiled salmon or chicken or red meat in the salad. And also you can get all sorts of broiled fish dishes, baked fish, chicken. Many, many restaurants now are going to free-range organic chicken. Chefs are choosing them because they have better flavor. And so this is a good deal for us. So any meat dish or chicken or fish or seafood dish is fine. And lots of vegetables to go with that. And skip the bread. I always tell them if I can get away with it, if there aren't a lot of other people at the table, don't even bring the bread. I don't even want to be tempted. Skip the dessert. Skip the cream-based soups. Get vegetable-based soups or bean soups, split pea soup. Those are all fine, but skip the cream-based soups. Skip the sandwiches. If you're at a restaurant where the only thing practically there is a sandwich, and I've been to places like that, I just say don't put the bread on there, but give me a big lettuce leaf. And I just take the filling and roll it in a big lettuce leaf and make a lettuce wrap out of it. They don't know how to do that. I've been to burger places before. All they've got is burgers. So I just say don't bring the bun. And put some extra greens on there, some lettuce, you know. Everybody seems to have some lettuce leaves and some tomato and sliced onion. And I just have the meat patty and the vegetables without the bun.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Where can someone go to buy your book, get more information about you, and keep up with your latest happenings?
You can go to juiceladyinfo.com, juiceladyinfo. You can order the anti-inflammation diet book there. You can also sign up for my free newsletter. It comes out twice a week with recipes and health tips. And I have lots of events coming up. My Jumpstart Spring Healthy and Fit for Life starts in a week, and you can sign up for that there or just read more, see great pictures of before and after of people who have done my 8-week Jumpstart program. You can also read about the upcoming cruise next year in February, our health and fitness cruise, and our retreat this year in May 3 to 8, the Juice Ladies Raw Foods and Juice Health and Fitness Retreat coming up. So lots of events there, a lot to read about. Come to juiceladyinfo.com.
Fantastic. By the way, we're coming close to the end of the hour. Since our show is about people, family, and living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
Oh, recipe for living. Eat healthy, whole, clean foods. Juice as often as you can. Reduce the stress in your life. Another big contributor to inflammation. Eat an anti-inflammation diet for sure. and exercise, because a sedentary life has also been shown to contribute to inflammation. So make sure that you do something at least 3 times a week, working out, going for a walk, swimming, taking an exercise class, signing up with a personal trainer for a couple of days a week. Whatever you need to do, get out there and go do something. Walk around your desk at work. Get up and walk more. Park further away from the front door of the office building. Take the steps. You know, all the things that we know we're supposed to do, and we forget to do them. But just remind yourself, keep moving, reduce your stress, eat an anti-inflammation diet, and you're on your way to healthy living.
Fantastic, Cherry. Thank you for the wonderful recipes for living and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, please join me next Tuesday morning. My guest will be Marie Georgopoulos. She is an intuitive counselor, healer, and spiritual mentor. Marie and I will be discussing the launch of her new worldwide consciousness movement, Meditation for Moms. This program teaches the art of transformational meditation to restore balance and harmony in life through spiritual practice. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to fmmktalkradio.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week. Cherry, thank you again. It's been a pleasure. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.